Chapter 14. Everyone needs some luck, even assassins. It wasn't luck that had helped him turn the mess of Gino Fisher's unexpected bullet to the brain into a neat package of murder-suicide. That was skill, experience, and a chameleon's ability to adapt to its surroundings. He was rather proud of himself for how he'd handled that, in spite of the bother, particularly the little touch of posing the receptionist's body. How sweet. He laughed to himself, though Fisher's suicide was yet another reminder of the limits of control. He would have to keep that in mind when the time came to pay his debt to Stone. If a wretched old crook like Gino Fish could surprise him, there was no predicting what a capable adversary like Stone could do. With that in mind, he had reconsidered his approach, hoping the chief would miss the breadcrumbs he had left behind in paradise. He would let Stone know he was coming when he was good and ready. And it was to that end he was now in Salem at 2:30 a.m., returning the Yaris to the garage from which he'd taken it. The stolen car, that's where luck had entered into it. On his way out of Boston, he'd heard a news story about a cruise ship whose crew and passengers had been overcome by one of those fast-spreading viruses. The ship had been ordered back to port. The woman who owned the Yaris was on that ship. And if Peeper's calculations were correct, the owner of the Yaris would be home later that morning. No doubt she would report her car stolen shortly thereafter. With his change in strategy, the last thing he needed was a report on the police wire that might remind Jesse Stone of their previous encounter. Better a report of a murder, he thought, than of a widow's stolen car in a nearby town. He wasn't a superstitious man by nature. No spilt salt over his little sloped shoulders. But when he heard the panting of a dog and human footsteps on the pavement behind him, he wished he hadn't had that thought about murder. If he hadn't already hit the closed door button on the garage keypad, he was certain he could have just stood in the shadows and the dog walker would have passed on by. But lately, nothing was easy. No matter. As the rubber gasket at the bottom of the door kissed the concrete garage slab, he carefully screwed his sound suppressor onto the barrel of his .22. He stood in the shadows, waiting for the inevitable. "Connie, is that you?" An elderly woman's voice cut through the early morning air. "I thought you were..." "No, ma'am," Peepers said, stepping out of the shadows, one arm behind his back. "I'm Connie's nephew, Paul. Aunt Connie gave me permission to use her car while she was on a cruise. I was just returning it." "You a nephew on her late husband's side of the family?"
"Hers."
The old woman was about 20 feet in front of him. She was a small target, thin and hunched, with a tangle of steel-colored hair on her head. And even at this distance, he caught wind of her sickly sweet old lady perfume. The stuff made him gag. Why did they wear that stuff? Why at this hour? The dog was one of those yappy, shaggy, nervous little things that paced around the old lady's feet.
"Odd hour to be returning a car," the woman said, a skeptical look on her wizened face. "Odd hour to be walking your dog." "Don't get old, son. I can't sleep worth a damn anymore."
She nodded at the dog circling her feet.
"And he likes the walk."
He hoped this would be the end of their conversation and that she would move on. His cab would be here any minute, and he couldn't afford their conversation attracting any attention from the neighbors.
"Okay then, son, be safe. Come on, Rags," she said to the dog, tugging his leash.
He breathed a sigh of relief. As the old woman moved on, his cab turned onto the street. Then the old lady stopped in her tracks. She turned back toward him.
"Wait a second," she said. "Connie was an only child. How?"
The headlights at his back helped illuminate his targets. He raised the .22. It flashed 4 times in an instant, coughing wisps of acrid smoke. The old lady went down without much of a sound, and the dog barely had any distance to fall. When the cab pulled to a stop behind him, he spun and shot directly through the windshield. Fortunately, the driver did not slump forward against the horn, but fell against the door.
He did not believe in God. How could he? He had killed more people than he cared to count, most in far more painful ways than he had just used to dispatch the old woman, the cab driver, and the dog. He had listened to men and women alike plead and bargain with a deaf God, a God who abandoned them as he tortured them, killing them inch by excruciating inch. Only once had he been thwarted, and that time it wasn't God who had interceded. No, that time it was Jesse Stone. Still, Peepers was tempted to shake his fist at the sky and curse. Instead, he drove out of Salem, in the cab, as quickly as he dared.